Hello and welcome to the Compass Podcast. I'm William Foxley, your host today. Really excited. We got Didar from Zive, which is a Bitcoin mining company of Kazakhstan. Obviously, the region has had a lot of political turmoil recently with a lot of revolution coming from recent oil spikes mandated by the government. And now we see that there are actually Kremlin mandated troops in the region as well. Suffice to say that Bitcoin mining this year has been a large player within global macro scale, and very thankful for Didar to be joining us today. Didar, how are you doing?
Hi, Will. Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, so I see that you're in Omaha currently looking at some Bitcoin mining sites here in the US, and that's because the region you're home from, it's kind of struggling recently with some political turmoil. Just kind of open up the conversation, give a roadmap. What's been going on in the region? There's been a lot of reports, obviously, from Reuters to ABC to the AP talking about what's been going on in the region, the differences between the authoritarian regimes kind of stepping up or stepping down, the Kremlin getting involved, China kind of looking over the border and saying, like, should we get involved? Can you just kind of give us like the 101 facts for the situation currently?
Yeah, sure. From one side, I have like access to this Western media from United States, from Europe. I read it, and like main articles are about Russia in kind of invading Kazakhstan. But it's not like this. I will give you some brief explanation. From other side, I have like Russian media in our region telling that the United States or like Europe countries are invading internal politics of Kazakhstan. So it's interesting. You have like these two sides like blaming each other for what's happening in the region. But actually, I think the problem is simple. We have this hyperinflation after COVID, and we like ordinary people just have same salaries, but the food and everything prices went up. And the final point was these fuel prices. They went up like 50%. And that's how it started. Like people just got out to the streets to make like peaceful protests. At the same time, we have these political clans inside the country who wanted to exploit this opportunity. And they I think they tried to make the peaceful protests and reach their own goals. So what we see now, it's kind of political clash of clans. So we have this former president and like current president, and we have groups interested in like gaining power in the country. So they're using their own goal, or they are trying to achieve their own goals by using just ordinary people. And I believe that everything what happened now, the situation is stable, will in the end be in advantage of the just normal ordinary people, and Kazakhstan will benefit from these protests. Russian troops came, but they are not active in the country. Only I think 2,000 people, 2,000 military came, and our own army is around 100,000 people. So they are only protecting some important governmental infrastructure, because our president, current president, I think has some doubts about our military elite. Because head of national security is in jail now, because he's like blamed to be one of the main organizers of the riots. So because president doesn't trust these military elites anymore, so that's why he has to protect some important objects. But the active part of the military of Kazakhstan military is doing some actions to make the situation more stable. And I think now it's good because we had this internet blackout for about a week. And today, internet is back in some regions, and we could restart mining operations. And also, I wanted to give the brief explanation that the main riots happened in the south of Kazakhstan, and mining operations are concentrated in central part and in the north. So it didn't affect actually Bitcoin mining, because no real riots happened in that regions, but because all internet was blocked by government, that's why we saw no hash rate for about 5 days.
First of all, I want to talk about the Russian influence in the region, which of course is definitely, I think a lot of people in the US and then Western Europe are pretty wary of Russian interference in anywhere in that region. If you look at Ukraine, you see that there's a lot of troops moving towards the Ukrainian border. That has put a lot of people in the Western NATO sphere on edge. And then the Kremlin as well is kind of looking at this and saying, like, we already have a situation on the ground in Ukraine, and now we have this situation in Central Asia, which obviously makes it a little tight. And then obviously in Kazakhstan, you have anti-Russian populism, I guess you'd say, is what I've read from news reports. And I'd like to get your analysis of that just from a geopolitical standpoint. And then we can kind of jump more into Bitcoin mining. Do people in Kazakhstan, are they pretty anti-Russia, or does it depend on what region you're in, or how do they feel about Russian influence overall?
Yes, Russian influence is huge in the region, but also Kazakhstan is on the north side, we have Russia. On the eastern south side, we have China. So both of these giants are kind of, you know, have influence in Kazakhstan. And so it's not the same as in Ukraine, because we are territory located such way that all of three parts, like Western world, Russia and China, have their own interests, and it actually benefit for the Kazakhstan, because nobody can come and just do their own politics, like, you know, in terms of geopolitics here in Kazakhstan region. So these three sides, they always like try to give some benefits to Kazakhstan to make to be like to make influence on Kazakhstan. So we have the good situation when you have Russia, China, and United States, who are all interested in the influence in this region. So we can choose whom we can in some periods to work closely with. Now Russia, because we have this military union, which allows us to use the military forces to stabilize the situation in the country. But mostly people are kind of afraid a little bit of Russia, because they have this huge military force, and we see what's happening in Ukraine. So that's why we only want some of the like little troops to help us to deal with this situation. I mean, the government, help government. And I am the ordinary like a citizen of Kazakhstan. I also want to everything to be stabilized as fast as it could be, because it affects our business as well, and it affects like our feeling of safety in the country. So we want stable politic and stable situation in Kazakhstan.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of in the center of sphere, not only of Asia, just because of its geographical location, but also within like the geopolitical landscape, because the US has a huge interest in maintaining stability in that region, not just kind of creating borders around Putin's Russia. And then obviously China has had its fair share of interests in the region with its Belt and Road Initiative. Just moving over to Bitcoin mining, though, of course, with Zive and talking about how you guys are handling this situation, and we'll just go through like the history books for a second, the last 3 months. So you guys faced a power cap on the amount of Bitcoin mining that could be in the region that necessitated that some of operations be ceased or halted, or new construction had to stop. Even before that, you had a lot of Chinese miners moving to the region. Canaan set up a huge facility for Bitcoin mining in Kazakhstan. And now you're facing interruptions from internet gaps. It seems like a lot of miners are back online, if not all miners, because internet has been restored. It seems like it was only offline for a brief period, which I'm sure you know a little bit more about than I do. But it's definitely been like a tough year with both inflows and outflows of Bitcoin miners. So could you just give us like your little your perspective on Bitcoin mining in the region. Is it safe to say that it's things are calming down at this point, or should we kind of expect that there's going to be more hash rate disruptions out of Central Asia?
Power rationing is still in the case, so we don't have all the time like stable electricity. Sometimes during the peak time we still have these interruptions. So in terms of electricity, what we are hearing from power suppliers, they say like now it's a winter season time, so we have a very cold winter up there, so people use more electricity, so that's why we have these problems. But from March they promised like more stable supply of electricity, and for the next winter they say that they will do some improvements in the system, so we won't face such harsh interruptions, because this time they say a lot of Chinese miners came and demand increased significantly, and they didn't have time to prepare. But for the next year, I think the situation should be better, because now they can plan, now they can make improvements during the summertime. So hopefully next year we will be okay with the national grid. But obviously we cannot grow mining operation just relying on the national grid, because they have this limitation for generating power. They need to build more power plants. What we do in Zyv, we went off grid. We went for the private power plant, which use natural gas to produce electricity. So that's how we diversify our business portfolio, and that's how we avoid risks of power rationing. And with internet, I think this is like, you know, unique situation when this protests and riots happened. So with internet, I believe we will be very stable. So only problem that I see is power rationing problem. So if we can find ways to go off grid, or we can find ways to build more power generation in Kazakhstan, which is possible because we have a huge territory. We have sun, we can make solar power. We have winds, we can make wind power. So we have rivers, so hydropower, a lot of potential. But with the current events, maybe some of international investors will be kind of afraid to invest in Kazakhstan because of some political instability. So first, I think we need to recover the stability, to make some economical reforms, to increase the economic situation for just ordinary people. We have to, like, government have to make them happy first. And then we need to make a positive climate for foreign investments to come. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. It kind of comes down to the two parts, or three rather: political stability, energy availability, yes, and then internet blackouts. The internet is something that a lot of people have been touching on, and I've seen that Blockstream and others have been kind of talking about wireless connections via satellite. You know, Elon Musk's internet connection thing with satellites. That might come into play here in this whole situation. May bring more interest for Bitcoin miners to be able to be off-grid and have internet connections. Do you have a sense or a feel for how many people in the region who are Bitcoin miners and are actively working off-grid are using satellites for internet connection? Because obviously the prerequisite for this is, like, you just need a little bit of bandwidth. Like, Bitcoin mining doesn't take that much internet connectivity, but you do need, like, at least solid internet connectivity.
I feel that maybe all of the miners use just a wire internet connection, and because they are mainly in the cities, so within the territory of the cities. So the most stable connection is using this fiberless optics, and the most, like, maybe 99% of the miners are using it. With the satellite, now we have to think, because these events showed us that we are not fully prepared for uninterrupted mining. And now I asked my team to make a research, to make some testing of this satellite. And because now we have like backup, but backup also is wireless, just another provider of internet. So we have to adjust our business. We have to find ways how to use satellite, like in such cases, to be online and to continue mining operations. And I read that some of Chinese miners use satellite, but I'm not sure, because in Kazakhstan, it's not common practice to use satellite internet, because everywhere is wireless and fiber optics is available. So mostly we didn't have, why to do it. But now, obviously, we have. So,
and my understanding is U.S. miners who are off-grid don't even use satellite very often. Sometimes they have it as a backup, I think they're exploring it more and more. But for the most part, it does seem that a lot of people are still using wired connections or some sort of cell tower connection. One thing I noticed in your thread talking about the situation, which we'll include in the show notes, was that there still isn't enough reason for people to move their ASICs out of the region. If you're going to move an ASIC, it costs a lot. We saw Chinese miners had to move it. If they wanted to stay online, they had to move their ASICs. But even then, about 10 to 20% of the network is probably still in China, and they chose to either go off-grid or underground to stay out of US or Chinese regulator hands. But here in Kazakhstan, we see that it's probably better just to stay put and weigh out the situation, or at least according to your thread. And I think a lot of that has to do with how profitable it is to mine Bitcoin right now. And can you kind of give me a sense for why you wouldn't move an ASIC to the US, or why you wouldn't move to Russia or somewhere else?
Yes, we have practical cases from our clients when we try to help them to move. So first, we have moving from Kazakhstan to United States. It's very expensive in terms of transportation, because Kazakhstan is landlocked. And first, you have to move it somewhere where they have seaport, and then from seaport, they and the length of transportation and time, it's around a month, from 14 days to a month to move them. Then you have these high costs. I don't remember exact numbers, but it's ridiculous when we got quotes from cargo companies. And if you use airplane to move, then also like air cargo is expensive. So first was transportation costs were very expensive. Second, you have this export tax. When you export goods from Kazakhstan, you have one tax. And when you import into United States, you have one more tax. So you have this double taxation. So, and considering how much these miners cost, it's like big number. Third, you are like losing time. So you're not mining at the moment. So, and you have these risks when you transport, some equipment can be damaged. So it's a huge distance. And this equipment is already used. So when you move used equipment, you have more risks of damage. So considering all these three factors, it's easier maybe to sell it locally. So you just see your costs and you see the price on the local market. Maybe it's easier just to sell it and then buy a new one from China and transport it to United States. Regarding Russia, Russia is a good market, but it's very slow in pace of deploying new mining facilities. So for example, in US, huge mining facilities are built like 700 megawatts, 300 megawatts, 100 megawatts. In Russia, you have Bit River with the 300 megawatts. You have maybe one or two other players, but they're very slow in building new facilities and creating new projects, and not much new mining companies up there. So I think Russia has a good potential, but because of regulatory uncertainty, they're still in the gray area. So on the law side, it's not legalized fully yet. So if you operate and in some day Putin just decides to ban it all, you have the same situation like in China. So that's why I think people don't want to invest too much in Russia. But still, yeah, I think Russia in top three countries for mining.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting on the Russia front. We'll see it kind of play out, I think, over the next few years with the energy crisis we're seeing in Eastern Europe because of Russia turning off the taps. It definitely kind of lend some focal to what's going on with Bitcoin mining in the region. Do you think that Bitcoin miners in Kazakhstan are planning on liquidating some of their ASICs onto the open market? I've seen a lot of speculation about that. Myself, it just seems like there hasn't been enough of a reason to do that quite yet, but I'm curious to get your thoughts.
I think most of the miners, like even international miners, they are mostly accept this situation. So they are continue mining even with interruptions. So because I believe that most of the miners just think when winter season will end up, we will be okay. So mostly I think nobody rushes. Whoever wanted to sell, they sold like maybe 1 month ago, 2 months ago when the problem occurred. But remaining miners, they just continue if they can and just waiting for the situation to get better.
Yeah, that seems about right to me. I feel like if you're going to pull out of a region, it might have happened a while ago. I do want to note, as we're kind of finishing up the conversation here, that you said that you're really optimistic about the future of the region, which is, of course, nice to hear as we're seeing all these like terrible things going on. Can you kind of explain your logic for thinking why this situation is getting better? You said some stuff earlier in the conversation about how the regulatory picture could become brighter a year after Bitcoin mining has moved there, maybe a little bit more time for the energy grid to catch up to the industry. And then you also kind of talked about on the political scene how the government might have a little bit more control over itself and over the region and encourage businesses to invest there.
Yes. First of all, we have already legalized mining in Kazakhstan. So government actually supports the industry, but the problem is that there is actual energy crisis. So government wants to solve it, but they need some investments to build new power plants. They have a plan. Now they want to build a nuclear power plant. There are supporters of it and some people who are against this. But obviously, if they build nuclear power, we have like huge generation inside the country and somebody needs to consume it. And the country is not so like large. We have only 19 million of population and not so good in like growing some manufacturer businesses who consume a lot of electricity. I think there will be enough electricity in the next 5 years. Also, some of the renewable energy projects are implemented and government supports it. So miners obviously are number one consumers for any power company because miners consume electricity stably. They pay on time and you can rely on them. So miners, after they deploy their mining operations, they are very interested not to have interruptions in electricity. So in terms of potential of electricity generation in Kazakhstan and that Kazakhstan needs these miners to stay in Kazakhstan and continue consume this electricity to balance the grid, to make this all power plant projects really profitable. So concerning these facts, I believe that mining in Kazakhstan had a good future.
Idar from Zyve, I want to thank you so much for your time. Of course, if you want to hear more about this conversation, go into compassmining.io, check out our Learn section, and you can see some of the show notes and information there. But again, Idar, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Will. Yeah, have a good day.